Chapter 3 Intellectual Revolution. Question first. What part did the intellectuals play in bringing about the French Revolution? Answer. The 18th century was regarded as an age of criticism and rationalism in Europe. The writers and philosophers of France raised several signs of interrogation on the ancient traditions and conventions and awakened the people from their slumbers. These philosophers contributed a lot to the rise of intellectual revolution by their satirical writings and infused a new spirit of revolution in the people's hearts. The political situation of France was profoundly affected by the thoughts of the philosophers. In fact, they made the common masses conscious of the evils of the autocracy, of the crown, the nobles and the ecclesiastics. They raised the slogans of liberty, equality and fraternity, which later on became the fundamental doctrine of the French Revolution. The educated middle class people were very much impressed by the thoughts of these intellectuals, and they instigated the unprivileged class for a revolution in order to bring about a change in the present social and political structure of France. In fact, the spirit of the intellectuals was the spirit of revolution. Some of the historians hold the opinion that if there had been no intellectuals, there would have been no revolution in France. But Elton, like other historians, does not agree to this view and opines, "The writers of the 18th century heralded the revolution, but they did not originate it. In fact, the writers and the philosophers paved the way on which the revolution advanced." A prominent historian, Madeleine, has rightly remarked, "The revolution was the outcome of realities, but it cannot be denied that without the help of enlightenment, it could not have arisen." The most significant philosophers who affected the revolution profoundly were Montesquieu, Voltaire, and Rousseau. But the contribution of other intellectuals was also praiseworthy. Paying due regard to other philosophers and writers, D.M. Kettlebay has observed, "Writers of all kinds prepared the French Revolution. The writings and propaganda of the philosophers made an excellent gunpowder for destroying the monarchy in France. And never before was a revolution so armed with words and phrases." Hazen has also referred to the intellectual awakening in France in these words, "In a land of no parliament, that is France, the men of letters had come to be the politicians." Now Montesquieu. Montesquieu belonged to an aristocratic family. He was born in 1689 AD at Bordeaux, in a famous family of a judge. After having received education in France, Montesquieu travelled through various countries of Europe and studied the constitutional problems with heart and soul together. He was greatly influenced by the constitutional monarchy in England, and he outright rejected the theory of divine right propounded by autocratic monarchs for their own ends. He wanted that a constitutional government should also be established in France. He wrote a book entitled The Spirit of the Laws. After 20 years' hard labor, He stressed in his book that power of executive, legislature and judiciary should be separated completely. He was of the opinion that the unification of these powers would centralize all power in one person or a party, which in due course of time either would spoil the entire administration or would lead to the making of a dictator. Hazen has paid a glowing tribute to Montesquieu in the following words. Propounded by a studious judge in language that was both grave and elegant, Montesquieu's masterpiece, The Spirit of the Laws, was a storehouse of wisdom destined to the provoking of much thought, discussion and action, both in France and elsewhere. Montesquieu propounded the theory of separation of powers and the checks and balances. He was the supporter of constitutional monarchy and confirmed his views in his book. Thus, he wanted to safeguard the rights and freedoms of the people. He breathed his last in 1755 AD, but his thoughts continue to influence the people of France. The Constitution of 1791 was based on Montesquieu's theory. Now, Voltaire. Voltaire was the most influential among all the writers. He was born in 1694 in a middle-class family. In the beginning of his career, he had leanings towards poetry, and also used to write satirical articles against the evils and defects of the government. He had versatile personality and was considered the completest mirror of the French society. He was a poet, a philosopher, a satirist, an essayist, and a historian, all rolled in one. He was twice imprisoned for his satirical articles. He outright rejected the supremacy of church and held the higher clergy responsible for spreading blind belief among the masses and themselves leading a corrupt and luxurious life. Voltaire denounced church as an infamous thing. He considered the church to be a big fraud and hated Protestants and Catholics alike. It did not mean that he had no faith in the existence of God, but he was against the religious dogmas of the priests. He believed in the divine sovereignty of God and used to say, "Worship God and be a good man." He got the foundation of a church laid in Ferney village, and on this occasion he said, "If God does not exist, it will be necessary to create him." Voltaire was a great devotee of individual freedom. Once he had to one of his friends and said to him, with whose view he did not agree, "Though I disagree with what you say, but I shall passionately defend to the end your right to say it." He visited several countries of Europe. He remained in England for about 3 years and also the guest of Frederick the Great and Catherine the Great. He advocated enlightened despotism. But he vehemently criticized all kinds of cruelties, oppressions, exploitations, blind beliefs, and evil practices. Owing to his critical writings, he was not liked by the crown and the clergy both. He created a thundering sensation throughout France by his speeches and writings. C.D. Hazen has written about him. Voltaire was one of the masterminds of European history, whose name has become the name of an era. His significance to his time is shown in the title men conferred on him, King Voltaire. He was a pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night for all who enlisted for the liberation of mankind. A prominent historian, A.J. Grant, has also remarked, Voltaire was, of all of them, the best known and the widest read thinker. His thoughts never went deep, and he had made no original contribution, but he was very powerful in popularizing ideas Europe has ever known. His most sharply barbed shafts were directed against the ideas and practices of the Church. In politics, he was neither liberal nor democratic, but regarded the honest and benevolent Frederick the Great of Prussia as the ideal, and that his government should be imitated everywhere. Above all, he attacked in his writings the religious intolerance of his time. His wit and satire, the clearness of his language, and the humanity of his appeal pervades the 18th century and the French Revolution. Now, Rousseau. He was an inhabitant of France, but was born in Geneva in 1712. His father was a watchmaker, who was a very licentious man. Rousseau was badly affected by the character of his father. He did not receive any education in any school regularly. He tumbled through his life and suffered throughout. He travelled in countries and to cities like Geneva, London, Paris, Vienna, etc., and passed an aimless life, wandering here and there with no mission in his mind. He was corrupt in his personal life. He had great insight for gambling. During his tramp life, he adopted several professions, like that of a private secretary, the lace seller, musician, etc., to earn his livelihood, but he did not succeed in any. The economic condition of Rousseau was never satisfactory, and hence the offsprings of this great intellectual had to be brought up in orphanages. However, he influenced the contemporary society of Europe to a great extent. D. Lambert was his greatest critic, and he has written about Rousseau, "He is like a horrible animal, hence he should be kept in a cage." Towards the end of his life, he wrote a book entitled Confessions, and after going through it, Johnson, a famous scholar, remarked, "He was so bad a man that he should be hanged at the nearest tree. He had all the evils that a gentleman should not possess. In spite of all these evils in him, he impressed the French Revolution to a greater extent than all the philosophers put together." Napoleon the Great, accepting his significance, once remarked, "Had there been no Rousseau, there would have been no revolution." An eminent historian, Madeleine, has also observed, "Rousseau, of all contemporary writers, was the most discussed philosopher who created the most opposite sentiments of love and hate." Rousseau held a supreme position among all the philosophers, and he influenced the society more than anybody else. Robespierre and Saint-Just also regarded themselves the follower of Rousseau. Montesquieu and Voltaire made an impact upon the minds of people, while Rousseau influenced their hearts. He was an ardent lover of nature. His heart danced with immense pleasure to see the green fields and blue sky. He did not like inequality. He used to say that this earth has not been made for one man, but God has made it for all. In his book Discourse on the Origin of Inequality, he has analyzed the inequality, dishonesty, fraud, and exploitation of the modern civilization. In his opinion, the natural man was far better than the modern man. "Go back to nature" was his well-known slogan, for he disliked pomp and show of the modern society. Social Contract was his most renowned book. Rousseau wrote this book in 1761 AD. It was based on the philosophy of Locke. The opening lines of this book are very much inspiring. "Man is born free and he is everywhere in chains." His thought revolutionized the thinking of the French people, and his book came to be known as the Bible of the Revolution. He gave a new shape of the fundamental rights of mankind in his book, Social Contract. He was in favor of demolishing those bondages of mankind in which they were chained later on. He stressed that the king, instead of regarding himself as an absolute monarch, should consider himself as servant of humanity and should serve them with heart and soul. But if the king, by violating the terms of agreement, inflicts difficulties and problems on his subjects, the people have a right to remove him from the throne. Thus he denounced the divine right theory of the kings and propounded the social contract theory for the good of mankind. Rousseau vehemently criticized the economic inequality prevalent in the French society. He used to say, "No citizen should be rich enough to be able to buy another, and none poor enough to be forced to sell himself." He has discussed his views about education in his novel Emily. He was completely against the artificial education. He wanted that a student should be educated according to his will. He was, in fact, in favor of technical education so that the young ones might be benefited by it. He opposed the study of ancient Latin and Greek languages. Rousseau breathed his last in 1792, but his thoughts continued to haunt the minds of the French people. It would not be out of place to say that the philosophy and thoughts of Rousseau created a strong ground for the French Revolution. He invoked a revolutionary fire among the masses, which could only be quenched by the outburst of the revolution. Lord Morley has paid glowing tribute to Rousseau in these words. "In the first place, Rousseau spoke words that could never be unspoken, and in the second, he kindled a hope that could never be extinguished. Really, Rousseau made a tremendous impact upon France by his revolutionary thoughts." Rousseau, the father of revolutionary thoughts, has also been praised by C.D. Hazen in these words: "In France, thousands of enlightened town folk were very shortly to participate in a political, social, and religious revolution, the great French Revolution, of which the chief motives were to be Rousseau's liberty, equality, fraternity, popular sovereignty, democracy." Now, Diderot. Diderot was also one of the important intellectuals of France. He was equally an important philosopher in spreading the revolutionary thoughts in France, like Montesquieu, Voltaire, and Rousseau. He was an ardent opponent of all ancient institutions. He used to say that the autocratic rulers and the priests had given birth to all bitterness in the world. In 1792, he edited a great encyclopedia which ran into 12 volumes. He referred in it about the arbitrary rule of the monarchs, the exploitation and tortures perpetrated by the privileged class, and the inhuman and troublesome taxes imposed on the common masses. This great encyclopedia of Diderot achieved so much popularity that between 1751 to 1772, 17 editions of it were published and sold out the day they hit the bookstalls. The important contemporary authors contributed in its completion. Diderot also wrote various articles. The names of Voltaire and Quesnay deserved special mention. They wrote articles on history and economics. Diderot especially attacked the autocracy of the king, privileges of the church and nobility, defective taxation system, slab system, and blind beliefs of the French people. The government was terrified by the fearless thoughts of Diderot, so he was imprisoned, but his encyclopedia was liked and praised by the people most. It went on being published again and again. His famous encyclopedia gave birth to rationalism in France, and he contributed much to the outbreak of the French Revolution. Now, Quesnay. He was the leader of the contemporary physiocrats. He formed an organization which was known as Physiocrats or Economists. Turgot, the finance minister of Louis XVI, was also the supporter of his doctrine. He belonged to a middle-class family. He was appointed as a royal physician of the court. Quesnay was not an opponent of autocratic form of government, but he intended to give it a constitutional shape. He stressed the organization of trade and agriculture and advocated free trade policy. Now, Condillac. He propounded the theory of material philosophy. He was in favor of material prosperity of humanity. He had once said, "A nation like France, in which 2/3 of the people are impoverished by heavy taxes, cannot be happy. Poverty is never cheerful." He believed that the basis of all the works of mankind is selfishness. Men were, therefore, perfect animals, and animals were imperfect men. Holbach. He was too much materialistic. He preached atheism. He used to say, "Ignorance of natural causes created the gods." In order to establish peace and happiness, the ancient form of religion and politics should be rejected. He had a faith that religion and politics were the root causes of all difficulties, and the universe had been changed into a valley of tears. He also stressed that men were corrupt because they were almost everywhere badly governed. Thus, indirectly, he criticized the maladministration of the kings. Historians hold divergent opinions as regards the responsibility of the philosophers for the outbreak of the revolution, whether it was an outcome of the propagation of their thoughts and ideas or it originated due to the malfunctioning of the autocratic rulers is a debatable issue, but it is obvious that they played a significant role in goading the French people and made them realize their deplorable condition. They convinced the masses by their logic and turned every tea table in France into a center of revolution. Thus, the opinion of Madeleine seems to be quite just that before the outbreak of the actual revolution, there was a mental revolution in France. Now, points to remember. The 18th century was an age of criticism and rationalism, and the intellectuals contributed a lot to the outbreak of the revolution by their speeches and writings. The role of the following philosophers needs special mention. Montesquieu, he wrote a famous book known as The Spirit of the Laws and propounded the theory of separation of power and checks and balances. He was in favor of constitutional monarchy. Voltaire, he wrote innumerable satirical articles, essays and poems. He condemned the church and clergymen and was also against the concept of absolute monarchy. He was imprisoned again and again for his satirical writings. Rousseau, in the beginning of his career, he was a born profligate. He adopted various professions but failed and was condemned by the scholars who went through his book Confessions. But in the latter half of his life, he emerged into the greatest intellectual in France and influenced the French Revolution so much. He wrote some famous books such as My Confessions, Emily, and Social Contract, which made him immortal. He was a great worshipper of nature and influenced the society to a great extent. Now Diderot, he edited an encyclopedia in 12 volumes, which was sold like hot cakes. He was a supporter of equality and People's Republic. Quesnay, he was born in a middle-class family and was a supporter of free trade. Condillac, he was in favor of the material prosperity of men and opined that poverty was never cheerful. Holbach, he was an atheist and materialistic through and through. He believed that religion and politics were the root cause of the problems of mankind. Though the chief cause of revolution were social, political and economic, but the intellectuals made the revolution more dynamic by their contribution and set it ablaze.